The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, as the next phase of Dublin's traffic plan is implemented this year, wider cycle lanes resulting in improvements for cyclists and a reduction in road space for cars is planned. Well, joining me now is Brian Caulfield. He is the Trinity College Dublin Professor in Transportation, and Damien Ochuma, who's the National Cycling Coordinator for the Irish Cycling Campaign. You're very welcome to the programme. Brian, to come to you first. So this is the next phase of the Dublin City Centre Transport Plan. What exactly is it going to involve?
So it's going to do what you just said there. This phase of the plan looks to be kind of focusing in and around cycle lanes. So there's cycle lanes that are going to be opened up in and around Gardiner Street. Also part of this phase of the plan is the much longly awaited pedestrianisation of College Green. So those seem to be the two biggest parts, the two biggest elements of this next phase. And I think this is maybe the third phase of the strategy that we're on to now.
So there has been some controversy, I suppose, around that full pedestrianisation of the Trinity College area. But there's also controversy every time you widen these cycle lanes, because it does mean the removal often of a lane for traffic, for cars, for motorists.
There is always an awful lot of consternation, I suppose is the best word, when anything happens that might discommode the cars that travel through the city. The one thing I will say from my own perspective is I get to speak to people like yourself and shows like this about what the plans are. But as soon as the plan's implemented, I very rarely get called again, because basically it's worked. And what's happened so far, so say for example with the banning of turns on O'Connell Bridge, that's resulted in a 30% reduction in travel times for buses along the quays. So the plan is working. But any change is difficult to do. Any change is scary. But in terms of cycling numbers, if the numbers of people that are currently cycling through our city right now, if they were in cars, the city would be much higher up on the league table of being, we're 11th worst in the world for congestion at the moment. If those cyclists were in cars, we would be much higher up that league table.
Yeah, and I do see the Dublin City Council head of traffic, Brendan O'Brien, speaking, I think, to the Irish Times. He said, look, these measures, while they're controversial in advance of their introduction, they generally result in very few, if any, complaints. But I wonder, is that because motorists are just resigned to the fact that complaining is pointless because they're not going to change their mind on this, rather than anybody being particularly comfortable, motorists in particular, I suppose, with how this thing has worked out?
I suppose it's the volume of numbers and people that are moving through our city, and motorists make up a small percentage of that, especially in the analysis that was done prior to the ban turns at the bottom of O'Connell Bridge. It was a very, very small percentage of people that went through that part of the city that were in it, that was in a car. The majority of people that traverse our city now are either on a tram, a bike, a bus, or they're walking. So the majority rules, I suppose, and the majority are quite happy. And one of the things that we want to do, we need to decarbonize, we need to reduce our congestion. Over the past 20 years, the numbers of cyclists in this city has grown by, it's more than doubled. But in order to meet our climate ambitions, our targets in terms of reducing congestion, we need to facilitate a greater increase in that.
You say it has more than doubled, but as a percentage, I suppose, of commuters in and around Dublin, how many are cycling?
So within Dublin City and its suburbs, it's about 5.5% of people back in 2024 were cycling. And that's taken from every year we do a canal cordon count. So we count how people get into the city centre. And that's the figure that comes from there. So it varies. In some parts of the city, it's higher. Some parts of the city, it's lower. One of the things we do see, and Damien will be able to speak to this better than I can, is that when there are interventions put in place in terms of improving cycle lanes and improving cycling facilities, then that the numbers do increase.
But I just know without a shadow of a doubt, there'll be texts coming into me here on the Hard Shoulder 087 1400 106. If you want to be one of those texters in the next couple of minutes, it'll say 5.5% of commuters are on bicycles, and there's this huge disruption for the vast majority who want to use their car.
So and I can see that, but like to put it in context, it's only about 7% of people that use the Lewis. So it does carry a huge number of people through our city in the sustainable way that we want to do, and in the core of the city centre, which is where we want to remove traffic to in order to, and to enable things like, you know, the Cable Street pedestrianization and that type of thing, so that we change the fabric of our city. So we're no longer talking about roads, we're talking about space, we're talking about space for moving people as opposed to moving vehicles.
So really the whole viewpoint here is that by and large we want to remove cars from the city centre, from Dublin city centre.
There are very few cities that are ahead of us in the league table that I said we were on, that we were at the 11th worst in terms of congestion, that aren't doing things like this, you know, that they're not trying to bring the pedestrians in, bring the public transport in and to make it quicker. The only thing that will happen is if we keep going down the path that we're currently going down, is congestion is going to get worse. It's expected to cost the city 1.5 billion by 2040 unless we start to do things. And at least in terms of this Dublin City Plan, it's one of the plans that's happening for the city that's actually delivering and it's actually working right now while we're waiting on things like Bus Connects and the much awaited metro to finally arrive in the city.
I'd want to bring Damien in here, and you heard, I'm sure, Brian saying, look, the changes are working and there's been a 30% reduction in bus times since they brought in those measures around the North and South Quays and cutting congestions there and restricting car use. But others will argue, look, that other parts of the city are suffering and they are at gridlock because we are pushing cars further and further out of the city centre and taking another lane out of Gardiner Street, for example, to widen bus or widen cycle lanes is only going to make that matter worse.
Good afternoon, both. I think what's happening at the moment is that we're midway through building our cycle networks. And there's nothing more certain than as you complete your cycle networks and you create those extra links just to schools, colleges, employment centres, you bring more people out of cars onto bikes, also using buses as well with the bus lanes, you know, with the Bus Connect schemes that are the Bus Connect routes that are coming up. So that actually relieves congestion. And I suppose the big message from 50 years of transport planning on the continent is that if you want to relieve congestion in your town and city centres, it is providing that dedicated public transport space for trams, bikes, for buses. And it's the combination of those measures which really frees up towns and cities to be much more economically viable places.
But are you surprised that the numbers are still at 5.5% in terms of the percentage of commuters who are on the bicycle, given the fact that we have seen major changes and I think major improvements to cycle routes in and around the city?
It's around 5%. That will be an overall figure. If you take particular routes, for example, where the network is more complete around Clontarf to the city centre, along the Royal Canal, which has opened up now, routes around Atalca, the figures will be much higher. And as you build up your network, as there are more connections, you know, we will soon, I think, have 10 or 20% of people on bikes, and we'll soon see. It's not just the decongestion benefits, of course, it's the public health benefits as well, which we'll see. I often talk to school teachers who report on students being much more alert and on the ball and on time when they're arriving by bike. So there's a whole range of benefits we'll see, and it doesn't just come underneath the decongestion.
Yeah, and it is, in fairness, a hell of a lot cheaper and certainly healthier. As part of these plans, there's going to be these big plant pots, these big planters that act as barriers. How important is that physical separation, Damien, as opposed to just painted lanes?
It definitely makes a difference, and particularly for those cohorts who aren't cycling as much at the moment. So women are underrepresented in everyday cycling figures, older people, children, and parents are definitely a lot happier allowing their children to cycle to school when there's some sort of segregation. It can be planters, it can be physical, it can be concrete, it can be reflective ones. There's lots of different segregation you can use. But basically, the better the quality, the more people who will use it. And this is the lesson I think we've seen. And not just in Dublin, there's a lot of folks in Dublin at the moment, but the cycle network in Limerick has come on greatly in the last few years. In Cork as well, particularly the east of the city, they're linking the Yall to Middleton Greenway now links cyclists directly onto the train. There's good schemes in Cork city centre and Pope's Quay. In Galway, which often, you know, we've spoken negatively about in terms of cycling conditions, in the west of the city, Bohurst Stiffon is well underway around the Western Distributor Road. If that network was completed, that would allow for thousands of commuters to the university, and that would have decongesting effects. There's some reluctance to some barriers to moving schemes along. Maybe in Drogheda, we need public support. We need more political support for it, at least. So all around the country, the networks are developing. But a network is only as good as its weakest link, and it's sorting out the junctions and sorting out the narrow sections. And we will definitely improve our cities as those networks are built up.
I'm going to have to bring you just a sample of the influx of texts that I have received about this topic so far. Cannot believe that you think this plan is working. It takes me almost 2 hours to get from Cabinteely to Merrion Road. Nobody goes anywhere near town anymore. Nace was nearly closed down for 2 years putting in cycle lanes. Rarely see a bike on it. Another texter, the rarely used cycle lanes in Bray Main Street and Wicklow obstruct ambulances and fire brigades. There's bollards there that stop drivers from pulling into these lanes. Brian made my day saying people are happy with transport in Dublin. Big lol. What do you say to that, Brian?
That people are happy with transport in Dublin?
People are referring to, I suppose, the cycle lanes that they're seeing not being used in places like Nace and Bray, and the idea that, right, there might be small improvements in the city centre, but it's taking people 2 hours to get in from somewhere like Cabinteely into Merrion Road, a really short distance.
I'm not sure how that listener is traversing between the two. If it's by car, perhaps that is how long it is taking. But in terms of the cycle lanes, one of the key things that I've always advocated for is that we start to count the numbers of people that are using these cycle lanes, that there are sensors put in place. Right now, I can tell you about how many cars are currently on the M50 or most roads right across the country. In terms of cyclists, we have very little information. So to be able to go back and say, these are the figures, other than that canal cordon count that we do once a year, we need better numbers to show the interventions that we're doing are working. But I would agree, you know, public transport in our city and transport in our city is chronic at the moment, and that's reflected in where we are in terms of the congestion tables. And it's not helping that a lot of the public transport projects that would alleviate this are being pushed back.
So do you see then this move to Gardiner Street and College Green to put in the pedestrianisation or the bike lanes as a real breakthrough then?
I wouldn't say it's a breakthrough. I would say it's kind of the basic minimums that we need to do in terms of trying to get more people out of cars in our city. We need to do the big ticket projects. They're the ones, they're the elephant in the room, the metros and the increased number of light rail lines. They're going to be the things that are going to move the vast majority of people. I really admire Damien's optimism of a 20% mode share for cycling in Dublin. I don't think that's likely in the next 50 years, considering it's only doubled in the past 20. I think how we're going to solve our problems in our city is by firing as much as we can at public transport interventions and doing them a lot quicker than we're currently doing them.
Okay, we're going to have to leave that for now. But Brian Caulfield and Damien Otuma, thank you for joining me on that. So Brian says the chances of getting to 20% highly, highly unlikely, even in the next 50 years. So it does, I suppose, draw into question why so much has been spent on these cycle lanes and what else can be done to try and get people to use them. Progress does seem to be very, very slow in terms of usage, for sure. Do keep your texts coming into us.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.